This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet Today continues, leading you all the way into hour three. Logan Gordon and Patrick Dumas along with you. Taylor and Cam are outstanding production duo in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hour one, all things Calgary Flames. Following their loss to the Arizona Coyotes Tuesday night. Hour two, some Calgary Hitmen on a game day. Some March Madness talk. Those podcasts will be up momentarily for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, a lot of good gambling info. He gave you a list of games tomorrow to be betting on. And that guy's one of the best at doing it. So get out there. Go download the podcast. Throw some money down.
Dumas really wants you to throw some coin down.
If you got it, do it. Get more.
You've got it.
Or it's just going to completely sink you and be like, ah, damn it, buzzer beater. Ah! Oh, just chaos, this tournament.
So March Madness gets underway tomorrow. Officially, playing games still going tonight. And all week long, we've had NFL news to report, Patrick, as the NFL's negotiation, tampering window, whatever you want to call it, has been open since Monday. Ahead of this afternoon, this Wednesday afternoon, the league calendar has officially flipped over to next season. And all of those signings and trades that we've talked about over the last 48 hours can become official. We've also had some new news mixed in today, including the Dallas Cowboys parting ways with longtime running back Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I think there's no surprise there. That's a player that's makes a lot of money, has seen his share of the carries in the backfield there dwindle over the years as Tony Pollard has emerged as a real threat in that backfield. Obviously, the Cowboys franchising him as they feel like this guy could be a longer, cheaper option because, you know, Tony Pollard is more of a Swiss Army knife when it comes to that. He can catch the ball. You know, Zeke Elliott was, his average yards per carry was 3.8, something like that. It was not good what you're paying that guy to do. And all the good that Zeke has done for that organization, I think the Cowboys, you got to think, that one's got to break Jerry Jones' heart. Oh, Zeke, I got to let you go, buddy.
He has a heart.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got a lot of money.
Hey, Zeke, I got to let you go, buddy.
A couple of the deals official that have happened over the last little while that we've talked about, just wanted to refresh for our listeners who might have missed some of this over the last little while. Some news today, along with the Zeke news coming down. Darius Slay officially released by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Just didn't have the money to make it work with him there anymore.
They paid James
quarterback.
They paid James Bradbury,
I should say.
It was James Bradbury getting the extension. It's a younger body. Obviously, they want to extend C.J. Gardner-Johnson as well in the secondary. Darius Slay should have many suitors. I think this will be, is it officially released or is it more of a post June 1st? Okay. Because I know there's a lot.
Even if there are those June 1st ones, they can still sign.
Yeah, because the June 1st, if it was with the Eagles released Darius Slay after June 1st, I think they would save $16 million in their cap. And I think if they
so
release
they
him today, it's 4.
So they can designate that for that day, but they can still sign. Like Slay can, the same with Zeke.
Oh, yeah.
He's not technically released until June.
Yeah.
But
they are free to go.
He's free to go and sign somewhere.
Also
today, Juju Smith-Schuster has a new home. Mm-hmm. The New England Patriots. He'll be a weapon for Mac Jones. Yeah, and just like we all thought, to succeed Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, former first overall selection, Baker Mayfield has signed a one-year, $8.5 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and will go into training camp as their presumptive number one.
I think it'll be him and Kyle Trask fighting for that job. I think the organization there believes in Kyle Trask. It was a high draft pick. But Baker is a guy that played pretty well down the stretch there when he got to L.A. He won that game against the Raiders. That was massive. you know, Baker Mayfield is a guy that he's a very polarizing figure. This is a guy that's maybe been humbled over his career as where he was in Cleveland, and then last year changing addresses twice. I think it's a good, safe move. You're seeing a lot of those quarterbacks out there. Jacoby Brissett signing with the Washington Commanders. Taylor Heineke going to the Atlanta Falcons. So these are guys that have starting experience, but these teams also have younger quarterbacks. So in Carolina's case, they'll be drafting a first overall pick. And in Atlanta, it's Desmond Ridder, whether or not they're really believing on him. But they got a guy in Taylor Heineke that has shown that he can win in this league. So the AFC South, yeah, I'm looking at Derek Carr. He's the best there for sure. But I like the signing from Tampa Bay getting Baker Mayfield in. It's a guy with pro experience and has shown that he can win in this league.
Just going to quickly run through some of these before we get to the big story today, just in case you missed it over the last little while. The Jalen Ramsey trade to Miami is made official. Alan Lazard and the Jets finalizing a four-year contract. I wonder why that might have happened. We'll talk about that shortly. Patrick Peterson, longtime NFL cornerback, he's signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Robert Woods, one of many big signings so far this offseason, for the Houston Texans. What else we got here? We've got the Denver Broncos getting in on Samaje Perine, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals. Our boy Alex Singleton also re-upped there on a three-year, $18 million contract with $9 million guaranteed. Yeah. Shout out to our boy Alex Singleton, cashing in with the Denver Broncos.
They're getting Mike McGlinchey to protect old Russell's blind side.
Pick up there for sure. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo is the new quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, while they also ship out Darren Waller to the New York Giants.
With the pick that the Giants got for Kadarius Toney.
Yes. Eric Kendricks, former Vikings linebacker, will now patrol things for the LA Chargers on a two-year deal. He's just 31 years old.
Yep.
Vikings fan favorite
there. Very, very productive years there in Minnesota.
Stephon Gilmore acquired in a trade with the Indianapolis Colts. He's set to be a Dallas Cowboy this season.
Just a fifth going Indy's way, but that's Indy moving on from an older group.
Older guy, yep.
He wants to win a Super Bowl, and Dallas is at a Super Bowl contending spot. Good move.
Eagles have lost a lot of talent this offseason with the salary cap, but have brought in running back Rashad Penny on a one-year deal. Former Seahawk finds a new home there. Miles Sanders expressing on Twitter that it seems like his time with the Eagles has come to an end, so that's too bad. You mentioned Jacoby Brissett heading to the Washington Commanders. The Bears have been busy. Their big signing, linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, formerly of the Bills.
And TJ Edwards says they completely overhaul that linebacking core. They let David Montgomery. They're not bringing him back. He goes to Detroit, as Detroit does Jamal Williams dirty. I wonder if Jamal Williams is a guy that goes to Aaron Rodgers, man.
With all this Detroit stuff is weird.
Yeah.
You mentioned that one. Byron Murphy, cornerback Vikings from the from the Cardinals, now with the Vikings. That's a big signing.
Placing Patrick Peterson, who's now in Pittsburgh.
Yes, I mentioned that one. Andy Dalton sticking around. He will reportedly be, I don't know if he's going to be the chauffeur, if you will, for the next number one overall pick, but he's signed a two-year deal with the Carolina Panthers, so they've got some options there at least.
Yeah, they're going back to the NFC South quarterback moves. I get it. They're not the sexiest moves at quarterback. I mean, Derek Carr was probably the best free agent available at that position. But I like, you know, Carolina's going to be, you know, adding Bryce Young potentially into that room. And I think Andy Dalton is a fine guy that can take you in, because I don't think Carolina's ready to turn this around and be like a contender. I like what the NFC South teams are doing at quarterback.
Derek Carr and Jameis Winston are the quarterback duo in New Orleans, and they will have Michael Thomas back on a one-year, $10 million contract. I mentioned Baker Mayfield heading to Tampa Bay. Kaiser White, who was with the Eagles last year, signs with the Arizona Cardinals. Sam Darnold signing in with this in San Francisco. Sam Darnold signing a one-year deal there. That's an interesting move, but their big move was giving them potentially, I think, the best D-line in football, signing Javon Hargrave to a four-year deal. From the Philadelphia Eagles, that's a big one.
That's a rivalry, man, with the Niners and Eagles. That is those. You think figure roster wise, those might be the two top teams still in the NFC. And Javon Hargrave going across country to add to that amazing defensive line in San Francisco. That's going to be a tough one for Philly to replace.
And speaking of big D line moves, the Seattle Seahawks pluck one from the Denver Broncos. Draymond Jones signs a three-year, $51.3 million contract. He is an under the radar guy because Denver hasn't been great the last couple of years. That is a huge loss for the Broncos D line. Yeah. And he goes to Seattle and gets some good money there. But of course, Patrick, all of those moves have gone by. We've said all of those things and tried to catch up on as much as we could, but that's because we're waiting on and have been waiting on the news surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Would he accept a trade to the New York Jets? Was this in the making? All of a sudden yesterday afternoon, Pat McAfee says, hey, Aaron Rodgers is coming on my show today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll chat with him. And of course, Aaron never afraid to chat with his future with Pat McAfee on his show. And clarified his future plans today on the Pat McAfee show.
And so, again, this is why this is not a decision here. The decision, I think, was made in my mind whether or not I was able to admit at that point. Really, on that Tuesday, I wanted to play. And then it was, you know, how is my body feeling? Is it going to be able to hold up? So at this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in. So I would just, I think it is interesting at this point to step back and look at the whole picture.
Okay. First of all, whoa.
Yeah.
That is Pat McAfee and others in that interview noticeably got the news. Yes, he is willing to go play for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
The second part there is, of course, the interesting one that a lot of people have climbed onto, Patrick, and that's Aaron Rodgers dissolving himself of any responsibility as to why this hasn't happened yet.
Yep.
He clearly thinks it is his former team, or could be his former team, the Green Bay Packers, holding this up due to compensation issues with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like right now we're just in the midst of waiting to see how long it's going to be before it becomes official. And Aaron Rodgers follows in Brett Favre's footsteps once again and could be the next quarterback of the New York Jets. What was your initial reaction to hearing what he had to say today?
You know, it's not surprising, none the least. There was nothing that stood out from that conversation. I think we all kind of knew, yeah, New York was going to be the spot. What kind of concerned me was the most was, you know, before, you know, going into that darkness retreat, he was 90-10 retiring. So that was, he almost pretty much made his decision. And we all know he spent one day imagining what life would be like if he spent retired, one day if he continued to play. And then there was a note probably when he came out. That Tuesday, when he came out of the retreat, he got Wi-Fi, started getting the things rolling in, the emails, the texts, and not from the Packers, but from people he trusted that they didn't want him around anymore. Because when he went into the retreat, Mark Murphy, everybody, the crew in Green Bay was like, take your time. We're all right. Something happened during that retreat where Green Bay is like, we got to move on. And you had Mark Murphy on his interview there last Friday at a girls' high school basketball tournament in Wisconsin saying he's had a great career. He's had a Hall of Fame career. I think Mark Murphy was, you know, poking the bear here. Obviously the Packers want to know. They have their decision. They have a quarterback that is on a really good rookie deal, his first-year deal that they believe in. And they made their call with this. And something along that line there, and it's what Green Bay has done to a lot of Aaron Rodgers' former teammates. And then he brought that up in that interview. I said, go listen to that thing that he had with McAfee. It's over 50 minutes, and he just almost just unleashes everything we kind of knew about this organization over the last few years. We want to do this, and then we want to do that. That they haven't been the most respectful to the players that have meant a lot to that team. Aaron Rodgers is the longest tenured Packer ever, 18 years in that organization. He might be the greatest player ever to play in that organization. It feels like you did the guy dirty a little bit, but I also get, hey, we can't keep doing this with you. We drafted Jordan Love, and we can go back. Why did you do it in the first place, drafting Jordan Love? Guy wins back-to-back MVPs, and you're drafting a quarterback like that. They kind of did the same thing with Favre back in 2005, and they pressured Favre in 2007 after they lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship. They pressured him right away. Brett, what's your decision? What's your decision? Well, if you ask me right now, I want to retire. By the end of April, Brett Favre wanted to come back and play for the Green Bay Packers. But by then, hey, yeah, you could be here, but you're going to be the backup to Aaron Rodgers. It just feels like Mark Murphy, the one constant in this whole thing. He's the president. He can push out the GM. And I mean, Ted Thompson meant a lot to that team. Brian Gutekunst, he's been there around as well. But another thing Aaron Rodgers brought up, nobody in that organization is really there when he was drafted. It's a completely new organization. Like maybe he felt done dirty by them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Aaron has earned a bit of a reputation of, I'm not going to say he's a diva or anything like that. I think he's like a lot of athletes. Sometimes you find things that are, you know, motivating factors for you that, you know, hey, I'm going to come back and show everybody who thinks I'm done in Green Bay that I'm not done or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, and you kind of have these own battles going on inside your head. I find him to be one of those guys. I always feel like Aaron Rodgers needs a villain all the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whether it's the Green Bay Packers or it's Mark Murphy or it's Adam Schefter, whoever, he always seems to need somebody to prove wrong. He's mm-hmm. never simply just okay being Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And
it wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that.
It shouldn't be.
Something shifted there.
He's won a Super Bowl. He doesn't need to.
And it goes back to that. And it goes back to the whole, like, the letting go of guys that were working well here. Like, the Jordy Nelsons. He goes on, he picks out little minor things. No, I know.
Quarterbacks.
And I get it.
He wants to sit there and go, oh, and then all my guys are there anymore. Yeah, because your guys retired, man. Brian Bulaga retired. Yeah. Everybody else, Corey Lindsley moved on.
It was little. He was picking out like Brett Good, the long snapper. Like he was picking out little details with the Packers letting go.
I said this yesterday. When he gets like that and you start talking to me like you're the GM,
yeah,
I get a little sick of it because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
The only guy that I think's ever really played GM or been able to, I think, was LeBron James when he went to the Miami Heat and mm-hmm. said, I want these guys. And to a degree, you can do that more in basketball.
Yep.
Because you're really only worried about your starting five.
Mm-hmm. You're not worried about 53 filling out a 53-man roster. It's a 17-man roster in an NBA team.
And second of all, LeBron James at that point was as close to the greatest player of all time
mm-hmm.
as he ever was. Like in his resume, you'll look back at his time with the Miami Heat probably and say that's when he was at his most dominant, and that's what you're talking about in most people's arguments, a 1, 2, or 3 top player of all time. That guy's going to get to make decisions. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know that's ever been on that sort of level where I'd sit there and go, and even all of this the last couple of days he got upset about that, you know, he told Adam Schefter in a text to lose my number because Schefter and others had reported that Aaron Rodgers had a list of guys that he'd like the New York Jets to go out and acquire as part of this. And Lazard was part of it. Randall Cobb was part of it.
Mercedes Lewis.
And Odell Beckham.
He said no, there was no list. He gave them a list of people he would prefer. He never actually said he never gave a list. He gave opinions on guys that they asked about. So there was no list.
Which is him giving a list.
I guess, yeah, in a roundabout way. But it was the Jets asking the questions like, how do you like Alan Lazard?
Well, yeah, of course.
What do you like about this guy?
But I mean, that's...
And I get it. And like another thing,
he knows what that means. Yeah. He's not an idiot.
No.
Like you can't sit there and tell me, look, that's Aaron Rodgers telling you, I'd like this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy without saying, I'd like this guy, this guy, this
and
guy.
It was also in the exit interviews with the Packers and Rodgers. It was, we're not bringing your guys back. We are not re-signing Cobb. We are not re-signing Lewis. We are not.
No, you can't.
You can't. Green Bay has to.
Forever.
This is why I'm so ready to move on as a Packer fan. I'm going to say this. I am a Green Bay Packer fan, have been my entire life. I am ready to move on. It has not been fun with Aaron Rodgers the last few years. And they've gotten to NFC championships, and they've gotten to these places. And how much was Aaron Rodgers like, oh, man, it'd be killer if we got an NFC championship here at home. It's not all on him. There's a lot that went into these Green Bay teams that failed at the last step towards a Super Bowl, because it's always going to look back, man.
Sure.
I'm going back
drafting
to 2010, and I'm looking back as a young man thinking like, oh, Green Bay, man, this is going to be one of many, because that was just the beginning. Next year, they have the best team in the league. They fall to the Giants in the divisional round. They get absolutely kicked. You know, it's just the little things. The Seattle NFC Championship game. You can point back to Mike McCarthy's conservative play and how Mike McCarthy kind of maybe spelled the end of Rodgers' tenure there with how the negativity with Rodgers, because it wasn't always like that. It was around 2014-15, it started getting a little bit dark around that place. So,
I can't wait for this to be over, which unfortunately means it's not going to be over because he's going to New York, and it's only going to be amplified what he does. As far as the decision goes, I have to be honest, I'm confused by it. That I would have nothing to do with the AFC if I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the fact is, I don't know how many other teams wanted him. This is a tough situation because, like I said, you really don't know how many great years he has left.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a good quarterback? And was he an upgrade on Zach Wilson and everything they had in New York? Sure. And that could be said for a number of teams. But how many teams were at the point, like New York, where they've had such abysmal quarterback play that they were finally at the point of saying, hey, look, if it means we get two good years of quarterback play, I'm willing to put up with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know that there's a lot of teams that were at that point. But for him to sit here and say, yeah, I'm willing to go to the Jets when the AFC is as stacked as it's ever been with premier quarterback talent compared to the NFC.
Oh, I was going through the list of the NFC's potential starting quarterbacks for the 2023 season.
It's ridiculous.
Season.
It's not even close.
If Jalen Hurts is your best one.
And I don't know where exactly that makes me think Aaron Rodgers' head is at. Is it just about, I'll go where I'll go because I just want to prove you guys wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about another? That's the one thing I've never heard from him. I've never heard, is it about another Super Bowl? Is it about proving Green Bay wrong in this? That's the one thing I've never understood as to why he's hung around this long. And even going into that division, man.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's going to get a lot harder week in, week out. Josh Allen is in your division now.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be 40 on December 5th.
Bill Belichick is in your division now. Mm-hmm. And will have something to say about you coming in there and trying to win games in New England. The Miami Dolphins just picked up Jalen Ramsey.
Who else? What? Day. And Miami's in on everything. What are they? They're going to be active.
And Bradley Chubb was on their team last year. They're a good team.
Yeah, I
even if you win the division,
you know your best chance at a Super Bowl might have still been in Green Bay.
100%.
And I get it.
And that's what makes me think. I don't think there was a long list of teams
willing to line up
down Green Bay's door, especially in the NFC. Because I think if there was an NFC team.
Yep. If Vegas was so gung-ho because they have his boy in Devontae Adams,
exactly.
They would have been there. They would have been like, hey, Green Bay, can we get permission? There's one team that was given permission. Tennessee was another team that could potentially need a quarterback here. But yeah, again, these are all AFC, and Green Bay was never going to trade him within the conference. That's for damn sure. But, you know, it's just it's funny how it played out. I don't know if it feels better than it was in that summer of 2008. With the whole Brett Favre scenario, it feels a lot better because it's getting done a lot earlier. But it just feels like, yeah, this Rodgers said it himself. It's bittersweet. I don't think he's happy about this decision. I don't think he's happy that he really has. But he's like, I don't want to be in Green Bay right now. I don't want to retire. And it's my only option.
This text comes in at 960-960. It says, once Aaron Rodgers started being thin-skinned and petulant about people saying he's not a tall quarterback, I lost interest in him. But that's... to me, it goes back to what I was saying, Patrick. He always has something, right? For me, most guys I would think in the NFL are motivated by two things, money
and
or
winning. Yep.
I don't hear those two things from him. I'm not saying that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. He did say
I'm not saying that that's wrong from Aaron Rodgers, but it can be a bit frustrating to sit here and say, well, you know, I'm in this because people think I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Or, because you said this about me, now I've got to go out there. And it's just not always about proving people wrong. Just go out there and be
play
Aaron Rodgers and play football. Yep.
And that's
going to be more than okay with that.
He plays it damn well. He's played it that. I don't think there's anybody. Like, yeah, the winning isn't there. But from a standpoint of skill and that position, I don't think anybody's ever played that position better. And we got Mahomes coming up and all that. We got these young guys coming up. But from an overall skills, there's not a better quarterback to ever play.
Than Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think so. I think what he can do on these throws, man, like, I know There's some of these throws that none of these guys can make. And I get Pat Mahomes is doing the sidearms and whatnot. It's just what we've seen here. Guy takes care of the ball better than anybody. There's nobody ever been ever to take that ball better, care of that ball better than him. He takes pride on that. That's for sure. Like, yeah, I want him to see him do well there for sure. I want to see that Jet thing work out, and I want to see this thing just move on. And now I want to see what Green Bay is going to get for this. And I know it's probably not going to be what they want.
Well, it can't be. They have no leverage.
What leverage do the Jets have?
They're the only team that'll take him.
I know, but Green Bay was like, well, okay. Before today's conversation, I think it was been like, well, if they, Green Bay would have been like, before we heard all of this, I would have thought, okay, Green Bay would have been okay with him coming back. But now that we hear that Green Bay doesn't want him back,
I don't think Green Bay ever wanted him back. I think as soon as the I'm going into a darkness retreat thing happened,
I think that really irked them, and I totally agree.
I think they sat there and they went,
we're done with this.
This is enough. I don't need to, like, we don't need our quarterback. And look, you can do whatever you want in your own time. No one's saying he can't do that. But I think after 20 years of different things with Aaron Rodgers, you just get to the point where enough is enough for a franchise. And you've both played your way to a Super Bowl, and that's great. But not like it ended on great terms with Brett Favre or, you know, there's plenty of these things in business.
It took a while for Favre to come around.
They never end romantically as we'd hope, right? Flames fans would have loved for Jerome McGinley to play every game in a Flames jersey and, you know, never have memories of him with Colorado or Pittsburgh or Boston. It just never works that way.
No.
Right? That's why we have some of the great pictures over the years of Michael Jordan in a Wizards jersey or Tom Brady with the Bucs. You know, it's as simple as that. It's never... The business aspect always gets in the way of romanticizing it, and this kind of feels like two sides that are just done with business with each other, and we'll see when and if that Jets thing gets done. I'd assume it would. At this point, to go out and say as publicly as everyone has that this is done, it feels like they have to come to terms on a deal, but who knows?
There was something about a contract on Friday. I think there was like $54 million being owed to him starting on Friday, and I think that's maybe the hold up here in this. I heard that earlier in the week, but
we'll see. So that's the latest on Aaron Rodgers and the NFL. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Get you set for the night to come in the NHL. Some big games to watch for.
GM meetings over, NFL too.
Score. Yeah, lots to get to. We'll keep it glowing here. Keep it going here on Sportsnet today, around the corner on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, off day today for the Calgary Flames. They're back in action tomorrow, matching up against the Vegas Golden Knights, the Western Conference leading Golden Knights, if I believe.
Yeah, they've been playing some real good hockey there, Logo.
90 points, 42 wins.
John Quick's looking good.
Yes, some revenge for Jonathan Quick.
Call me a third goalie, will you?
Ship me off to Columbus. How dare you? Well, they've won four in a row. Good news for Flames fans. The Flames have never won in Vegas.
Oh.
So that's really positive.
But, you know, it's not like the 20-plus run like they had at Honda Center.
No, it's eight. It's enough.
But it's not like a... You know, it's not like the Flyers' dominance over the Islanders or the Ducks' dominance over the Flames.
Look at it this way. There's a chance for a first tomorrow. Yeah, there's no better time to break the curse.
This would be perfect.
And maybe the team, you know what, Patrick, you know what the team should do?
Yeah.
We are always so conscious nowadays.
The Vegas flu?
Exactly.
Get out and have fun.
It's time to get the Vegas flu if you're the Calgary Flames. It's time for a couple of those guys. Now, I don't know if Peltz is old enough. I think he is. I think Jacob's old enough.
Jacob Peltz.
It's time for Huberto to take a couple of those checks.
Jacob Peltz, yes, he can drink. He's 22.
Grab a couple of stacks.
Yeah. Throw some.
Take Jacob out to the Bellagio and let off some steam.
Yeah. I think there's
and
not a
Trevor Lewis and let's say
Luch.
Luch, you guys can take Walker Dewar. Walker, you've been playing great lately, buddy. Welcome to Caesar's Palace. and tonight should just be an abomination of liquid and gambling slot. It should just be just one of those nights you don't want to check the ATM receipts in the morning.
Daryl should even get out there.
Daryl should be out there. Daryl and Kirk Muller and Kale McLean should find a private little table at a steakhouse. Daryl loves good steak, good farming man. Find themselves a nice table, a couple beers, and just let it breathe.
No, exactly.
That's what I think this, I'm half kidding. But the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking it could actually be really helpful for this team.
Totally.
To just throw your phones off, put them in the hotel room, say everybody's got to be back by 2.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, go out and have some fun because no one's having fun right now.
Yep. Yeah, we talk about it like, oh, no confidence, no fun. It's a down group. Fun. You've been in the dressing room. It's guys beating up on this. Well, I get it. Should they be having, this type of, let loose atmosphere with 14 games to go and on the outside looking in? Probably not. You want to be more focused on the game, the task at hand. But yeah,
this isn't a case where they're a point away.
No, it's not like.
And this is the final game of the season tomorrow. Yeah. I am actually, given where they are and given how this season's gone, I'd actually be more okay with them going out and letting loose a little bit than, sitting in the hotel room all night and sitting there going, well, it's time to watch some film from that riveting Arizona game.
Yeah.
No, go out, just let loose a little bit because I think this team really needs it. Will they? I have no idea. But this might be one of those cases where the Vegas flu might help you.
Just taking a show or something,
Yeah. And there's a couple of, I'll call them adult suggestions on the text line that I'm not going to read. I'm not endorsing or denouncing anything. You do you, whatever makes you happy, whatever is going to, build some team morale. You go out and be safe, make good choices. Remember, social media is a real thing.
Oh yeah.
But this team feels like a group, Patrick, that could really use a night away from it all. And I don't know what the feasibility actually is of going out to Vegas as pro NHL players and doing that. But man, does it not feel like a team that, God, could we ever just use a night off and a night away from it all?
Yeah, this is exactly it. This is a team that looks like they're at the end of their rope. It feels like a team that's just absolutely broke and just they don't know where to go next. They don't know where to turn anymore because the luck isn't there. The score, it's not happening right now. And there shouldn't be any harm to that. And I don't know what will happen. We all don't know what will happen. But you do want to see just a loose group tomorrow. I know there's a lot of pressure on you. There's a ton. You just want to see a group that's just it's a game, man.
Have some fun.
It's a game. And I know there's a lot riding on this thing. And I know you've never won in Vegas. But you go out and have fun. You play loose. And even if you lose, maybe it'll feel better. I don't know. We're pulling at straws here,
All
man.
All I know is we'll have the coverage for you right here on your home of the Flames. 8 o'clock puck drop with Derek Wills and Pete Labardius. Pat and Lou have your Flames warm up at 7.
Couldn't luck into a 6 o'clock Vegas game. No,
it's got to be an 8 o'clock
one. It'll be a 7 o'clock local.
Looking at the scoreboard tonight, Patrick, Sportsnet Television Network brings you a pretty good game at 5 o'clock tonight. Can I interest you in the Avalanche and the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight?
Oh, probably. That's an absolute
two playoff
beautiful
teams, potentially. Colorado's still got a little bit of work to do in the West.
Toronto's got to wake up, man. Matt Murray there was not good against Buffalo. That's like how many starts in a row that he's allowed 4 goals? I don't assume it'd be Matt Murray
tonight.
Does
Toronto not feel exactly like Edmonton right now where it's like, I like your team.
God,
and
if we
I think
could just get some dang
some
goaltending.
Good, but can one of you please? And look, I know Stuart Skinner and Ilya Samsonov have been the better of the two.
Yeah.
But it's not like anybody's sitting there as your clear number one guy.
Like those
and
two
both
are probably
the guys you've invested in longer term in Murray and Jack Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, if this is game one tomorrow, it's Stuart Skinner probably, and it's Ilya Samsonov for Toronto. But yeah, it does feel like just those teams just need somebody to stop the puck for them, and they could take off. I'm liking the Toronto Tampa Bay matchup more and more.
For who?
Toronto.
Mm.
And I know I'm saying that because of the whole caveat of their goaltending, But Tampa's play of late, it feels like a team that they're not so much flawed anymore, but it is something in that they're not, the defense is not there. That McDonough loss is going to be huge, I think, for them. Losing Ryan McDonough, I know they had to, because there was no way they were going to keep him. It was just like Ryan McDonough, and we got Victor.
Is that not what we say every year, though?
I know. You never count them out. Isn't
that what they're okay with you saying?
Yeah. And like, but this is the first time I think we can say in 4 years where the Lightning aren't at their best.
I feel like we say that a lot.
We'd have to go through it. Like, how many times have they, like, I don't know what their record is of late, but it was at the point they lost 6 or 7 games.
I don't know. I'm not there yet. I like Toronto, but I just don't.
I get it.
Especially the fact now that Ryan O'Reilly is going to be out more time than he's going to be with this group. You're going to try to reintroduce him in.
It feels like a guy that can just get into the postseason. It's like, I'm built for this time of year.
If he doesn't, then all of a sudden you're. I can't count Tampa Bay out anymore.
No.
I think they're perfectly fine coming in here. I'm sure they're fine being the 3 seed. I think
they'd
rather start in Toronto.
They'd be fine as a second wild card.
Walk into Toronto and sit there and go, all the pressure's on you.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you haven't beat us in 3 years.
Yeah.
Complain to me about the playoff seeding.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. We're fine. Because I think when it comes down to it, Tampa Bay has two things that Toronto doesn't have. And to me, they're the two biggest things. There is no Victor Hedman on Toronto. Yep. And there is no Andre Vasilevsky in Toronto.
That's
and
totally
until
fair.
You prove to me you've got enough guys around it to make that difference up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still okay with Tanner Chanot is in there now. He's going to mix things up. Stamkos, Kucherov, those guys have been here before. I don't think they're scared of Toronto.
No. I don't think anybody is, and I still think maybe Toronto might be a little soft around the edges here. Could still be a problem come postseason.
Yeah, Bunting seems to be the only one that likes to do that sort of stuff, and I don't know.
Nolichar, he's been really good. He's been really good at that. But up the lineup, I know Austin Matthews has developed. He's blocked a ton of shots and everything like that in Mitch Marner. But again, I just don't think maybe they don't have that physicality right now still that Tampa Bay has with Nick Paul, Tanner Jeannot, their defensive core. They could grind you. I think we could be in for another 7-game beauty when that happens.
How do you feel about Colorado right now? They're still technically fighting.
Yeah.
For a playoff spot. They're third in the Central with 80 points, but they have 3 games in hand on Winnipeg and 2 on Seattle. Winnipeg's the big one there because they share the division. So 3 games up on Winnipeg, and they have a point better than them. I do not want to see Colorado if I'm any team in the West. Mm-hmm. I know the injuries have been a concern. I know Arturi Lehkonen is a big loss for that team. I don't want to see Colorado. Like, if I'm Minnesota, that's the worst possible team that I could see night one, especially given, you know, the Minnesota injury situation with Kirill Kaprizov. To me, is not the team. Minnesota's not going to outscore a lot of teams in the playoffs.
And Colorado's got,
to me, the biggest offensive upside of any team in the West.
It does feel like this is Nathan McKinnon's time right now among the NHL. This feels like a guy that they jump on my back, I'll carry you this time. It was Cale Makar last year as the main playoff performer for Colorado. It's Nathan McKinnon this year. He said, I don't think teams want to be playing us if we're a wild card. That's fair, because I think Colorado would be favored. It will be favored in every series that they play in this postseason. It does feel like how many more injuries can they take? How many more of these beatdowns can they take? I worry about Cale Makar's health every time he steps foot on the ice now. That's those two concussions in 11 days. Arturi Lehkonen's a big loss. He was huge for them in the postseason last year.
Yep.
They'll get him back. They'll get Landeskog back. But yeah, I know they're still. It still feels like they're not secure in a playoff spot, but it does feel like it. Any more injuries to them, I don't think they can take any more injuries. That's for one. They have to stay. They have to get healthy and stay healthy for them to want to repeat.
So that one's across the Sportsnet Television Network tonight in Toronto, Avalanche and Maple Leafs. Also at 5, you've got the Sabres and the Capitals, Wild and Blues at 7:30, and all sorts of yuck coming your way at 8 o'clock tonight if you would like to see the Islanders and the Ducks from Anaheim. I do not feel overly comfortable watching that. I will pass probably on that one. Wild Blues, I guess. Wild are still fighting for things. Blues are out of it. Sabres Capital is probably the one to talk about, this if is, anything.
It's probably an eliminator match for sure. The loser's probably a loser-goes-home match, even though I think it might be too far gone. But Pittsburgh, since Tristan Jarry's been back, he has not been great. And Pittsburgh needs goaltending. We wondered at the deadline, were they going to be a team? How close were they with Thatcher Demko? Were they going to be involved in paying for a goaltender? I don't know if Casey DeSmith, Tristan Jarry can be good enough to carry this team.
If Washington loses, they're probably out. But they don't, again, they sold off at the deadline. Yeah, so.
It's kind of like a Nashville position, but Nashville's also in a better spot.
Yeah, Buffalo's got the games in hand. Like, they've got three in hand
yeah,
on the Islanders.
That's the
they
one.
Win tonight. The Islanders lose to Anaheim. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's still in this thing.
Yeah. Like, and that's funny because it was like we wanted to call off Buffalo after that 10-4 beatdown they got to Dallas, and that Edmonton loss was tough, but they got that huge win in Toronto, and that was huge.
Yep.
You know, you're getting Craig Anderson out here. You know, we're getting Pekka Luukkonen tonight in net for the Sabres. Yeah. This could be a big one for them. They get to 73. They got those games in hand. I really like the Sabres. Alex Tuch coming back, getting those two goals. It's a fun group. Regardless of what happens, the Sabres are on the up and up here.
How could you hate the Sabres?
No, beautiful jerseys. Like just the talent.
They've never done anything wrong to anybody.
Not a dang thing.
They could really use to fix their home record though. They are 13-8-3 in Buffalo. 20-10-2 away.
Well, good thing they're in D.C. tonight.
They've been playing very well on the road. But, yeah, playoff hopes fleeting at best if you're Buffalo and you can't pick up a couple home wins down the stretch. Eastern Conference playoffs look like this as of today. Boston holds the number one spot in the league and in the Atlantic Division. They've clinched a playoff spot. 105 points on the year.
I'm hitting a little speed wobble here for the Bruins. Two in a row, doubled up by the Blackhawks last night. I feel like a team that's just, again, we just want to play
it's
up
hard.
The stretch.
We've got a month of hockey left.
They're not going to lose the division. They're going to win the President's Trophy.
This is probably the toughest stretch for them this year.
Yeah, and Winnipeg tomorrow for them.
Yeah, we mentioned Toronto and Tampa Bay occupy spots 2 and 3 in the Atlantic. Toronto has two games in hand on Tampa Bay and a 2-point lead for second in that division. Don't look now, but New Jersey is right on the heels of Carolina in the Metro. They have a game in hand, but New Jersey is just 2 points back all of a sudden thanks to wins over the Capitals, the Habs, and the Carolina Hurricanes. Just the other day, they lost to Tampa Bay on Tuesday, which could have closed that gap even more. But, man, do you ever worry about the Carolina Hurricanes right now after losing Svechnikov? Yeah. He's not coming back anytime soon. He's out for the year and the playoffs. They didn't make any big splash at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. which I'm okay with. I can't sit here today and tell you you should have made a big acquisition at the trade deadline because something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't operate like that.
They have guys like Jack Drury stepping up and scoring
right, but
a goal.
But that's what's going to have to happen, yeah. right? Somebody's going to have to. Yeah. Maybe Jesse Puljujarvi is going
to
is gonna take on a bigger role, right?
Yeah,
something's got to happen there. But it sure looks like the 2 seed and the 1 seed in the Metro and who plays New York, the Rangers, that is, still to be determined. New Jersey could come out of nowhere here and take that first spot away from Carolina.
Did you hear earlier in the week with the Rangers situation, what's been going on there with them being denied? Like it was Larry Brooks had the report that they're not allowed to talk to the goalies. The goalies aren't speaking. And then when their requests are being met with, like, they're being denied. Or being straight with what, like, no? Like, something's up there with the Rangers and that thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's a good group, but they're being weird.
Yeah,
maybe it's just shutting things down, getting kind of close to the postseason. They want to kind of keep things close-knit, but, like, a little weird what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, there were similar things out of Winnipeg the
yeah.
other night.
Yeah,
too.
And that was another one with Scheifele and Connor. Like, I get it. That's that line being benched, but... When a guy like Nino Niederreiter has been there for 2 weeks and he's the one that steps up, that's not a good look. I guess Scheifele's a guy that wears a letter. Like, that's got to be a better. It's a bad look when it could be a good look. The new guy wants to be a part of this group. But, like, well, we could talk about Mark Scheifele I could go on for days about that guy, but still, it's, yeah, a little weird. I don't like that. When teams do that.
Another blow for the Montreal Canadiens. Not that they were worried about their spot in the standings.
No, they're doing exactly what they need to do.
It's worked out pretty well. Minus that win against Pittsburgh on Tuesday. Yeah. things going well for the slumping Canadiens. They also lose Christian Dvorak for the remainder of the year. He'll undergo knee surgery. Mm-hmm. Habs already well on their way to a losing season, Patrick. They are 27th overall in the league right now. They've got 60 points. Just the Flyers, Ducks, Blackhawks, Sharks, and Blue Jackets with lower point totals so far in the year than Montreal. And I don't think anyone's surprised. It's been a building year for Montreal. Just tough to see all the injuries. That's the toughest thing for me. Caulfield, those kind of guys dealing with injuries this year. That sucks to see.
It's a good group. They'll make you work every night. They just showed to the New York Rangers there last weekend that they will play you hard no matter what. I like what the Habs are doing. Jeff Gorton's group there. It's a good group. They got right now. They'd have 77.5% chance at landing old Connor Bedard. That'd be great. One of the markets I would like to see him in. I think that one would be a top three market for me.
That'd be an interesting one, for sure. Yeah. If that's what happens, we'll see. There's still lots to be determined as far as the balls will go. We got
May 8th for that.
I was just gonna say we got dates for the official lottery. And May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we say for playoffs? Stanley Cup final?
June 3rd.
June 3rd right now, the tentative date of the 2023 Stanley Cup final as the NHL announced key dates for the remainder of the season. So playoffs are going to start this year on the 17th of April. May 18th, you'll have your draft lottery on Sportsnet. Cup final tentatively scheduled to start on the 3rd. That's a Saturday, June 3rd. Then you've got Combine, June 4th to 10th. NHL Awards, June 26th in Nashville.
The draft is also midweek now.
Yes, Wednesday, round one of the draft. Wednesday, June 28th, round one of the draft. Rounds 2 to 7 go on the 29th, all day Thursday. So those are your key dates remaining for the NHL. So June 3rd seems like a late start for the year.
Is it earlier than last year? Right? When did the cup final get underway last year?
I never remember. We always get to these points and I never exactly remember. It just feels like it gets later every year.
Well, it is. I get it the last 2 years because the seasons have been messed up. But yeah, this needs to be a thing going forward with
more
the schedule.
Warm weather playoff games coming your way.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup final needs to probably start middle of May, end of May.
Patrick, thanks for sitting in today.
No, thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with a Flames game day from Las Vegas. A reminder, 8 p.m. puck drop, 7 p.m. Flames warm-up with the one and only Pat Steinberg. Thank you to our outstanding production team of Cam and Taylor on this Wednesday. A handful of guests who were outstanding. Peter Labardius, Brad Curl joined us. Matt Usman joined you a little bit earlier to chat some March Madness. Those will be up on the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. Right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.